Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. Again, that was Billy Joel, My Life. I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. My show. No paid advertisers, entirely my show. So the thoughts and opinions are mine. And that's the way I like it, and that's the way I'm going to keep it. It is Sunday, November 19th, and it is pretty cold this morning, but at least it's not raining. I love Shasta County. I love this time of year. The weather has turned, so we know when we wake up it's not going to be 120, and it may or may not be raining. So with that and the weather, I'm going to go to the text I received from my good friend Mike Kruger for the weather. Again, not a paid advertiser, just a good friend who I support wholeheartedly, as he is an icon in the meteorology world here in Northern California. So here's his text. After a very active Saturday, we can expect a much quieter Sunday. Although we will see clearing skies, cooler air has moved in, and we will only see highs in the upper 50s. Next week will be fairly uneventful, with highs climbing back up to the mid-60s, and that trend will most likely last into next weekend. That said, there is a weak system that is expected to clip Northern California on Wednesday into Wednesday night, bringing in a slight chance for a few passing sprinkles or light showers. It's only expected to create minor issues for your holiday travel, if any. Be sure to keep checking in with meteorologist Mike Kruger at WeatherNorCal.com with the forecast. You can also take him wherever you go with his free WeatherNorCal app for both Android and iPhone. So thank you, Mr. Kruger, for that. So that's good to hear with your holiday travels. If you're driving or flying, the weather shouldn't impact you too much. So with that, I'm going to jump quickly and I also want to say a good morning to my Uncle Bud, who's listening most likely in Yoruba. He says I am the only conservative talk show he listens to. So that's my Uncle Bud, Vietnam veteran, decorated, amazing guy. And, yes, I count it as a blessing that he turns off CNN for the half hour that he listens to my show, or the hour. So Uncle Bud, love you. Tell Aunt Delilah I said hello, and hope your golf game is getting back on track. With that, I'm going to jump into – we have a special board meeting tomorrow at 9 a.m., which is Monday, November 20th. And there's some irony in that, because obviously during a board meeting a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I made a motion to cancel our Tuesday scheduled meeting so the staff could spend the holidays with their families. And I stick by that, because when you have a normal, regularly scheduled board meeting, there is a ton of staff involvement with that, department heads, analysts, a lot of people from the third floor, et cetera. When you have a special board meeting, it is a fraction of the individuals that have to be at that. And actually, this special board meeting was prompted also by our CEO, Rickert, because the timing was better than pushing a couple of these things off to the December 5th meeting, because that'll be a bigger meeting, because there's only two meetings in December. So people have asked, hey, what's this about? Why couldn't this have waited? And realistically, in some ways, it could have waited. But the reality is I've been working on some things with the Zog Fire. As many of you know, I was the one that brought it up, kind of kept hammering at it. And it was solely because I like to, when I start something, I like to finish it. I like to tie it up with a bow, set it aside, and call it complete. One thing I've learned in business and with family, and just being a productive human being, is it's important to finish what you start. So as I've asked for documentation and records and trying to get questions answered, not just for myself, but for the people of IGO and just for people of Shasta County that want to know, that want really answers as to how things have transpired, I had to go as far as basically doing a public records request of my own departments as a supervisor. And again, this isn't Kevin Cry acting. This is Kevin Cry, elected official, who represents District 1 and all the people of Shasta County. So when people and constituents want answers, it's my job. I was elected to get those answers, so I wasn't able to get those. So now it has to go to a board action where the board has to vote. If I have the votes, we'll have to see. I don't know. I've only been able to talk to one person about it, but it was interesting that the staff report didn't include everything I was asking for. I thought that was a little odd. Why would they not? Because usually they put everything in there. Why would they not? So, you know, what am I missing or what am I asking that has ruffled some feathers? And I don't know. And, you know, I like to believe the best in people, believe the best of people's intentions. So I'm just trying to get this, and maybe this is just the process it has to go. So they're going to give us an update on how we could, like, what's the process for an elected official to get information that I guess normally the whole board would have to ask for. And I would hope, I would believe all five board members would be in support of another board member just getting questions answered. So we'll see where it goes because, as always, politics plays a role in politics. I think this should absolutely be a non-political thing just for someone to get some information. But, again, we'll see. And then we have some other things on R2 that were thrown in there about possible litigation. And that is the board meeting tomorrow, special board meeting. There is no public comment. Of course, you are able to speak, though, to the agendized item of R1 and R2. So with that, I'm going to welcome my guest, who I'm extremely excited to have. And actually, if you remember, I had CEO Rickert into the studio the first couple weeks he was here and told us a little bit about himself, give the community a chance to get to know him. So now I have Dr. James Moo, our newly appointed health officer for Shasta County. So good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for having me here.
You bet. So Dr. Moo. I've got a few here bullet points I want to make sure we cover, but this is your time. And we're probably not going to take any call-ins. We may take call-ins the last 10, 15 minutes, so I'll give you that number now. It's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. If you do call in, this isn't a telemed appointment, so don't ask Dr. Moo that you have a stomach ache and what should you take for that. But if it relates around the public health officer position, yeah, ask away. So the first thing, Dr. Moo, tell me a little bit about your family and just your background, if you can.
Well, I was actually born in Korea, South Korea. I know we have a veteran here, and Korean veteran.
Frank. Yeah, Frank. Frank's always in the studio.
Right.
I think he gets here at 4 in the morning.
I want to thank Frank and all of his Korean veterans for freeing Korea from communism years and years ago. And they sacrificed quite a bit for our freedom. And I appreciate you, Frank, directly, and all of the rest of Korean veterans.
Well, yeah, and Frank mentioned that he said that to this day that the country still every year thanks the United States, and it's the only nation to still continually thank the United States for their military work. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think that's the right thing to do.
Yes. So, go ahead.
Anyway, I was born in Korea, but I was born to Chinese parents. So we were considered Chinese, not Korean, even though I was born there. I think I was there until I was 14, going through Chinese school, and finally immigrated to United States. First, I landed in Southern California. And actually, I was the last of my family to leave Korea because I have to finish my schooling. My uncles and aunts and my older brother and my parents, they came to the United States beforehand. So I, at age 14, I was in Korea, although with some of my parents' friends. I was a very short-time orphanage for a while.
Wow.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And traveling, the very first time I flew on an airplane, going from Seoul, Korea to Japan, and from Japan to Hawaii, and from Hawaii to Southern California, all by myself at age 14.
Wow.
And that was...
Well, you had a cell phone, right? So you can get a hold of people.
Oh, yeah. The cell phone was...
I'm kidding. For the younger listeners, right, there was no cell phones. So go ahead.
No, there was no cell phone. I think we just had some books to read on the airplane.
Wow. iPad. Yeah.
No iPad. Nothing
like
that.
That story in and of itself would be the biggest struggle for a lot of these kids. No cell phone, no iPad, nothing but books for 14 to 16 hours. So there you go.
You know, I think these kids, if they were introduced to it and they're somehow forced to it, they'll adapt. and they'll entertain themselves with the book.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, my son's a voracious reader. So, okay, so you graduate from high school then in Orange County?
No, L.A. County. I graduated from Montebello High School.
Okay.
And went to UCLA for undergraduate.
UCLA, that's a community college, right?
No, I'm kidding.
So I'm sure it was hard to get into UCLA then, just as it is now. So also what I'm doing is I'm laying a groundwork here because we're not going to skip, because I want to really talk about your family. But as we go into, your qualifications and things like that, to be the public officer, excuse me, I mean, UCLA is one of the top medical colleges or universities in the country.
It is a well-thought-of university. A lot of people want to go there. It's a beautiful campus, lots of tradition. And I learned quite a bit. I also did my usual college playing as well.
That's awesome. So do you play any sports in high school or college?
No, I do play a little pickup basketball here and there.
Okay, good deal. So when did you marry your bride? When did you guys get married and start the family?
Let me see. I believe 15 years ago.
Do you need to phone a friend? Okay,
15 years ago. Yeah, I need to phone a friend. And,
okay.
I know her birthday. And
you know her.
I think I know our anniversary as well.
How many kids you guys have?
We have one.
One kid.
But
okay.
Together, I have an older daughter from previous marriage.
Okay.
And two kids from Jana.
That's awesome.
So we have total four kids. Together.
Four kids. That is awesome. So when did you move to Shasta County?
It was 1990. I came here. I went to UCLA for undergraduate. I was a physics major going into it. I guess I was a nerd during high school and continued to be. After that,
There's no shame in that.
Look at all the rich and famous people. Are they nerds?
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, most people I think that are higher achievers tend to be, and you know, and it's weird that we, you know, the term nerd. But yes, I totally know what you mean. Very very book studied, and just have a yearning or a desire to continue to learn, be lifelong learners. I would say I've become a nerd.
Right.
In some capacity. Okay. So.
Well, that's a part of the thing. Even for the last 30 years in private practice, I continue to learn and educate myself for that. But back to the after UCLA, I went to a medical school in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And after 4 years, then our desire was to come back to California. And we were originally looking at Southern California, places like Ventura, even San Bernardino, Bakersfield, and to reach out to other places, I decided to interview Sacramento. And then I was told that there's a little town called Redding just north of Sacramento. And I said, north of Sacramento? I thought, just north of Sacramento is the Oregon border.
Yeah. The longer I'm in politics, right. the farther up north Southern California begins. I mean, I think Southern California is just about in willows now to me.
Right.
But anyway, so go ahead.
So I came up here for an interview, and it was a beautiful mid-December day. Much like this, the sun is shining.
So we fooled you. We fooled you thinking it was going to be nice, mild weather.
The weather was really nice. There was snow all around the mountains here. Tree leaves are changing like it is right now. And I just fell in love with the place.
Yeah.
So I've decided to come here for a residency. Made a long story short, 30 years ago, I finished. There's a residency program here in town, Mercy Family Residency program, and I graduated, decided along with my fellow resident, decided to start a private practice here. So that's how we stayed.
And that private practice today has roughly 5,000 patients, correct?
Well, since then we have grown, and we outgrew our office together, so we had to split.
Oh, split, okay.
Right.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, I know that you personally, I'd heard.
We have about 5,000 patients.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
So, okay, so with your I didn't realize you came here that long ago. I thought you came here like in 2000, so that would still be over 20 years, but you've got over 30 years in the community. And that's awesome. So let me ask you, so we're talking about 5,000 patients, which is I think that's a really healthy practice, a really healthy number of patients to see. What possessed you to go from the private sector, where obviously you're well established? I know that I have friends and constituents who you're their primary care provider, and they'll joke around and say, "Hey, thanks for hiring my doctor," but they're very, very altruistic when they say, "Hey, it's better for the county. It may not be great for me to some degree. We'll see how that plays out, but it's so great to have him at the helm in Shasta County." So what would possess you to go from the private sector, successful, doing a great job, and then move into the public sector and open yourself up to, you know, what has started and what, you know, and keep in mind, there's just people that are really loud. I know the majority of the people are stoked to have you hired, but what's the transition? Like, what was the mindset behind that?
Well, we have not had a full-time public health officer for over a year and a half, and near the beginning of this year, I felt this call, if you would, to see if I could help the Shasta County. You see, I've been here in Shasta County for 30 plus years, and the county has been very generous, and they've been very supportive of me. I just felt like near the end of my career, I want to give a lot of that support back to Shasta County. And I want to do what's right for Shasta County.
Man, that's awesome. And I identify with that. I mean, there's going to be dead air because sometimes you'll say, you just said that, and it's like, I get that. Same, very, very similar reason for me running. There's no part of my life on the outside that is better being in public service. You know, just keeping your head down, running your business, raising your family, taking care of the things that are most important to you. Is easy, and it's celebrated. And then you step into the public sector, and if people don't, for whatever reason, then it becomes all these issues. So with you now, has the response to your appointment been surprising to you? And when I say that, for the listeners that aren't super engaged, everything, and what I mean by listeners that aren't super engaged, I know we pick up new listeners pretty much every week, which is humbling, and it's great. But here in Shasta County, it is very politically contentious. I mean, let's just call it what it is. People have their opinions. Everything is partisan, which shouldn't be. Medicine should not be partisan. But do you feel, were you surprised at some of the people that would say, well, he's not qualified? Or, you know, we should have hired somebody with a public health, degree because it matters so much. So tell me a little bit about your qualifications and help me and the listeners understand why that's just a bunch of garbage about your qualifications and what you have to do to even be in the role you're in.
So I was a little surprised for the opposition. I thought that there's a strong need for a full-time public health officer and to have a local physician who knows the county and who's been here for a very long time would be a good thing to have. But I share some of their concerns because I do not have official public health experiences. At first I thought every public health officers throughout the state of California had public health degree. But later I found out that's not the case. Only about maybe a little less than half of the county public officers do have the master's degrees in public health.
Yeah.
So, in fact...
I want to make sure listeners understand that. What he just said was over half of the public health officers in the 58 counties do not have that degree. Now, Shasta County had that as one of the requirements. But, again, I feel that that's just more government bureaucracy piled on top of, you know, what we pay people. and it's not needed. There's some degrees that just aren't needed, and that obviously is one because many, over half the counties in California, their public officer does not have that degree. So go ahead and continue.
So I looked into the qualification for state. What, in terms of state requirement for a public health officer, is simply you have a license to practice medicine in California. And it is desire to have master degrees in public health or serving in military in preventive medicine or qualified postgraduate training, which I do have as board-certified in family medicine. Now, currently, I'm not board-certified because I let it go after two recertifications. I felt like I did not need it, but I'm going to get that board certification back.
Yeah, I totally understand that when you talk about it's like a certification as a strength coach. I let that go. Now, can I still teach a push-up and a power clean and a clean and jerk and all that stuff? Yeah, I could do that. I don't have the piece of paper that says I'm certified anymore. But if I wanted to get that, I could get that in probably a week. And what do they want? They want $600 every 2 years in continuing education. So it's like, I don't need to do that. But I get exactly what you're saying is, yeah, you can just get that because it's a piece of paper that the government says we'd like some money to say that you can do this, which you've always been able to do. So with that, we're going to take a short break. Christina, we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back, I want to really focus in on the doctor shortage. I had a gentleman here, an oncology nurse, Morgan Pace, a few shows ago, and we talked a little bit about the doctor shortage. And I know one thing you've mentioned is you look forward to recruiting other doctors to the North State, and I'd be very curious to hear just your plans and what you're looking to do there and what you already have done. So with that, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio. All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, broadcasting live from downtown Redding, heart of District 1 in Shasta County, California. You can listen to us online, many of you are, at kcnr1460.com, or you can listen to us here locally, 96.5 FM or 1460 AM. And one thing I will tell you, too, if the FM station ever is cutting out a little bit, I would always recommend going to 1460 AM or getting it right back to the online streaming one. But then, again, you can always find all these archived at votekevincry.com. You'll see them there on my page, votekevincry.com. You could listen to any of them. And, again, just appreciate you listening, appreciate your support of a county that I absolutely adore and love, which is Shasta. So I'm still here with Dr. James Moo, who is our new appointed Shasta County Public Health Officer. And, you know, one thing we just talked about during the break, too, is I want to get back to the doctor shortage and how you're looking to recruit them. But one of the things I was thinking about was, to me, a family practitioner, I would think, makes the most sense to be a public health officer because you have a pulse and understand the heartbeat of the public's health and family's health and what's going on in the community. Like, what are issues facing everyday people that you would need to be aware of? So, I mean, does that correlate at all? Does that have any kind of influence or benefit to you as the new public health officer, being from family medicine or a family practitioner?
It does correlate very well, and you're correct. Both public health and family medicine, we treat similar conditions. We treat pregnant women. Some of us do, actually. Actually, I did deliveries for 8 years before I had to stop that. And we do treat newborns, pediatric patients, and all age spectrum, and also both sexes that we treat. We talk about preventive health, which public health does support, chronic disease management. So in terms of ideal public health officer would be somebody who has years of experience in public health, having a degree. And I would, on top of that, adding a degree or training family medicine. That would be ideal public health officer. Now, I don't have a degree in public health, a master's degree in public health, but I do know public health because of my experience.
Yeah, I mean.
And I will continue to learn. Just like throughout my career, I constantly learn and teach myself. I think that's just in me. And I will continue to learn now that I'm going to focus more on public health.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate that. I know that a lot of you can't be as successful as you've been in the private sector. And I'm not talking about dollars or houses or vacations or any of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about successful in terms of having a thriving practice where more and more people are seeking your medical expertise and care out for themselves, their family, et cetera. So with that, how do we get, because I know there's a doctor shortage in Shasta County, but that's not proprietary. That's not only Shasta County. There's a doctor shortage all over the country, and especially in California, because they're leaving California in droves for a multitude of reasons. But how do we get great physicians like yourself to make that decision to come to Shasta County? So what's your – why do you think there is a shortage, but then what are you looking to do as the public health officer to be an ambassador to bring other practitioners, surgeons, specialties here to the North State?
Well, by myself, I don't think I could accomplish that feat.
Well, we need you to do it by summer, so if you could do that now.
I'll start praying really hard.
Okay. Well, that's always a good first step. But okay, so doctor shortage.
I think it's going to need both the medical community as well as general population to help us in this endeavor. We have an advantage here in Shasta County because we have three primary care residency program, and we should tap into that first. That's sort of what we call a low-hanging fruit. The doctors are already here. They're young. They're in training. But we have to somehow find ways to keep them here. When I graduated from our local residency program, there were six of us at that time.
Six.
Graduated.
Okay.
1992. And five of us stayed in this area. One left just because he needed additional training, and we did not provide that for him here. So for reason, well, I know the reason, because we love this area. This area is beautiful. People are very friendly, and they really welcomed us when we came here. And I like to bring some of that feeling of welcoming the new residents here in town. And we like to support them, both financially and in terms of friendship-wise. I think that's the way to get started.
Yes. No.
And, of course, we need the general population help, and our medical society needs to wake up and put a priority on recruiting new physicians or retaining physicians as well.
So whose job is it? And I truly don't know. This isn't a loaded question. Whose job would it be then? Is there an entity, a union, a network, a headhunter of some kind for, you know, the county or a region to bring doctors to a county? Or is it like everybody says, hey, we need to recruit doctors, but like nobody's doing it? You know, I mean, is that like who does that? Or,
well, currently it's falling on to the hospitals to do it. And there are two wonderful ladies at Mercy, Janae and Hannah. They've been really working hard to help recruit new physicians in town.
Janae and Hannah.
Correct.
All right. So Janae and Hannah, if you're listening or if someone knows Janae and Hannah, somebody buy them a coffee. Let's keep them up late and let's have them keep recruiting great doctors here. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I think that's one of my mission as public health officer. I know this is beyond the traditional public health officer's duty, but I think lack of physician is a public health concern. So I don't know the answer to this all, to all of this, but I'm going to work to improve our retention rate in residents. My goal is minimum 50%, maybe 75% of residents would stay.
Yeah, I mean, you just said something, which I know you probably don't. I mean, I can tell you're a pretty soft-spoken guy. You talked about playing pickup basketball. You probably created three fouls in 20 years. I don't see you as an overly aggressive defender, but I will say this. What you just said, when you said it's not your job, but you're going to do it because you see the need. I think that speaks to who you are as a human being. And again, I've only talked to you a few times. This is the longest I've ever spoken to you. But I think that's the greatest value or component of a public officer. When they say, hey, that's not my job, but I'm going to do it because there's a need and I can make a difference. And when you're as you listen to this, you know, people at home or driving or whatever, understand that Dr. Mu just, he already decided to get into something that really wasn't anything but a calling. There was no financial real push to do it, but he put himself out there, and now he's saying, not only am I going to put myself out there and do this job, I'm going to do more than my job requires. And that's, I'm learning who Dr. Mu, James Mu, is. So I appreciate that. Let me ask you, so with doctors coming here, do you feel that there is an opportunity to even do some type of I don't want to call it a job fair, because I'm sure at the level of physicians coming here and stuff. But I know, like, if I'm going to recruit an athlete, or I want to recruit maybe two or three entertainers, I may bring them here for a weekend and let them meet my staff. Let them, and again, they don't spend a ton of time in Shasta County or in Redding, but at least getting to know the team they would work with. Do you ever see where we would invite some, you know, physicians who are looking to, you know, to put down roots somewhere and bring them here, where you say, hey, look at all, you know, maybe you have them meet with a realtor or two. I know a couple good ones, Chad Phillips being one, Vista Real Estate. Now, again, I know a ton of realtors, but I just use Chad. Doesn't pay me to say that. There's my disclaimer. But and then have, you know, some schools or, you know, some teachers, some educators, and really just wrap around these young physicians and say, hey, Shasta County is a place where you could build a legacy. Shasta County is a place where you could do something and have a generational impact. And physicians do anyway. But and sell them on why Shasta County is special. That's worked for me in private enterprise. Do you think something like that could work for physicians, or is that just, you know, crazy talk?
No, that's not a crazy talk. I think we do need to sell our county to prospective physicians.
Yeah.
Again, this is a beautiful place to live in. Our housing price is half of the median price of California.
Yeah.
And we have great school system, and we have friendly people, lots of local support. We do need to make it financially feasible for them to come here.
Yeah.
And not only supporting the physician, but the family member, the spouse, and the children.
Yeah, kids, man. That's now you're talking the love language of my heart is kids. Kids can't choose their parents. Kids are born into this world, and they're dealt, you know, they're given the hand that they're dealt. And you just made me think of something too. And I'm going to put this challenge out over the radio. I'm going to challenge Supervisor Garmin, Tim Garmin, to work with me on seeing what we could do in terms of in the diabetic or diabetes space. I know that he and I believe his kids have to travel out of the area. So as we talk about recruiting physicians or recruiting people here, I'm going to see if Supervisor Garmin tomorrow would want to work with me on that, because when I heard just his plight or his kids' plight or the plight of a lot of kids with diabetes who have to travel outside of the area just because of doctor's care. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to make sure. So Supervisor Garmin, I'm sure you're not listening, but someone will tell you that I spoke about you, and I want to work with you and Dr. Moo on seeing what we could do, getting some, especially like pediatric, you know, I don't even know what that position or what those people would be, but it may be crazy, it may be outlandish, but if we don't try, we're never gonna get any results if we keep doing what we're doing. So let me ask you this. This is something, I'm curious. Where does personal liberty, as it relates to health mandates and, your advice as a public health officer, where does that intersect? And I'm not trying to dig up past stuff, but where is that? Because I'll give you the example of why I'm asking. I brought forward a resolution, which was basically a resolution that just says, hey, look, when COVID comes back or some disease comes back, we are going to be a county that says, hey, we are not going to force medical issues on you. It is Shasta County is a place of, you know, you get to decide what it is you want to do. And I got a lot of flack for that, which was, it's weird to me when people would say, hey, you know, basically we want less freedoms. We want to be told what to do. And you're living in the wrong place. Go, you know, move to Cuba or somewhere else if you want to be told what to do for the betterment of everybody. So not trying to make this a political thing, but where does personal liberty intersect with health mandates in your position? So when you give a recommendation to Shasta County as a public health officer, how do you do that in terms of how do you still support the Constitution, people's rights, but you're giving stern, strict, intelligent, well-thought-out medical advice?
I'm going to draw from my experience as a private doctor. And when I prescribe a treatment or medication, including vaccines, I always give my patients options. I tell them my opinion and what my recommendations. But ultimately, decision to treat or not to treat, to take the medicine or not to take the medicine, to get the injection or vaccine, it's up to the patient. I'm hoping that I could do a good job to promote healthy, safe, effective vaccine to patients. If a vaccine is that good, people would line up to get it. But I think everyone should have the ability to make the final decision for themselves through informed consent. And, you know, a lot, as of now, there are a lot of resources. They could do research on their own as well.
Yes, that's a great question. We have a couple calls, so I'm going to take one here in a second. But I'm going to hold on one second. Excuse me. So I want to preface this because I think we probably are going to get a few calls. I would like the individual to ask their question, and then Christina, we're going to just cut the mic because I don't want it to be a long conversation, because I promised Dr. Mu that this wasn't going to be a debate of some kind. So with that, our first caller, Lori, are you there?
Yep. Hey, good morning, and thank you so much. I even told Christina I was just going to lay out a question and then just listen over the air, not hang up everybody. So I first met Dr. Mu at the forum that was a couple years ago at Pathways, and I was so happy to hear the no mandates kind of thing. Dr. Paul DeNuca was a part of that. Dr.
Lori, is there a question
coming?
So my
question is, because they were bold and brave then, how is it going to be with the state? As we know, they're always kind of monitoring, observing. How is Dr. Mu planning to deal with these issues when they start pushing, forcing, demanding, when it's part of his job, but yet you can see and hear and understand his personal part about safe and effective? Is that possible? And what's going to happen with the responsibility, accountability of the damage and death that's happened?
Thank you, Lori. Appreciate that. That's a great question. So, Dr. Mu, how do you – I think what she's basically saying is if we have – or when we have a COVID 2.0, what's your stance in terms of how to handle that?
Well, that's a great question. And unfortunately, with great questions, sometimes there are some difficult answers. Right now – because I'm new at doing this, I have to navigate the politics or the structure of the public health. I would say ultimately the best solution to that is to educate the public and educate the public in such a way that they understand where the county or even the state is coming from. There are a lot of orders that's good for the public health,
yeah.
In terms of public health wise. There are lots of vaccines that are very safe. They do save lives. And I think especially for children, they should get their needed vaccine. But when it comes to a order that's questionable, I'm going to find out the reason why and what's behind the particular order that came from the state. Does this make sense to our population or not?
I think that's an honest, great answer. And again, I love the more I listen, the more I'm a fan. Because when you say, like, you know, you're new and you got to figure some of that out and you got to understand. I know you're not talking about the politics. I know you're talking about just the actual, you know, state laws and how all that trickles down with OSHA and everything else. But I appreciate that answer. You know, and the thing is, too, what the public has to remember is, you know, the prior board – before Supervisor Kellstrom and I got on it, was, you know, the whole mantra was, you know, education or I forget what the exact term was. It was something, you know, through education. But that's all well and good until, you know, my friends at Waterworks were shut down as a business. And, you know, that's not education. That's messing with somebody's livelihood. And again, I can be political. You're not. That's okay. But I'm always going to say, as long as I'm a supervisor, it's going to be, you know, people have to take their own health, their own finances, their own responsibility. And for the people that can't do that for themselves, you know, the elderly, the infirmed, the mentally handicapped, physically handicapped, I mean, I'm going to be the first person to fight for them as well, because that is the Great Commission. We are supposed to take care of people that can't take care of themselves. But the people that can take care of themselves, make their own decisions, they need to do that. All right, off my soapbox. We have another caller. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning. I've got a correction for you. At the start of the show, you said the supervisors meeting tomorrow. I believe it's Tuesday.
No, it's Monday the 20th. But thanks, Nick. I appreciate it.
Okay. My comment is for your Uncle Bud. Tell him to listen to Poke the Hornet's Nest next week. That'll be his second favorite show.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Nick. So that was Nick Gardner from Poke the Hornet's Nest. That is on every other Sunday opposite myself. So if we have any other callers, please feel free to call in. We're going to take our last quick break, and then we're going to finish up with a couple other items. But, again, you're listening to my show. This is Kevin Cry, and we will be right back. Christina, are we not going to break? All right. Christina, you're there? All right, well, guess what? We're not going to take a break because I guess there's technical difficulties. We're just going to keep rolling. I know we have other calls coming in. So here is what I was going to want to finish with. I don't know, Dr. Mu, your schedule, but would you ever be interested in having some type of town hall or and again, I don't want to say town hall like it's it's not a political thing, but it's really a chance maybe for you to line out some things that people can do preventatively with their health as it relates to maybe some of the largest pressing needs here in Shasta County. I mean, I know we have a fentanyl crisis, an opioid epidemic that is rampant through Shasta County. I know we have obviously many other health conditions as well. Maybe you put together a 4 or 5 point bulleted list and just run through that for people that want to listen and get to know you, because I think the most important thing that we need here in Shasta County is the people that are elected or in a position of, let's just say, power or influence like yourself. People need to get the trust back of government officials. And I think the trust of a public health officer is one of the most important, because people are going to make decisions quite possibly off of your advice or your recommendation. So is that something that you might be interested in at some point?
Actually, that's a very good idea, to have some sort of town hall or forum periodically, allow the general public to ask some questions regarding public health, basically state of our health in Shasta County.
Yeah.
I will look into that.
Okay, great. So, I will hold you to that. I will.
Right.
And you know who would be good to talk with? Not just CEO Rickert, but also probably like Laura Birch with obviously Health and Human Services. There may be some other opportunity there to do some type of collaborative thing with other health issues that they're seeing on the ground with peer support specialists and everything else. Okay, we have another caller. Andrew, are you there? Andrew?
Yeah, good morning. Hey, quick question. I understand that the mRNA component is in all vaccines now, as well as some dental anesthesia. What are your thoughts on that? Thank you.
That question's obviously for you, Dr. Mu. It's not for me.
I don't believe mRNA components to all vaccines. I know they're thinking about combining flu and COVID vaccine in an mRNA form in the future. But as of now, the flu vaccine is still the traditional safe vaccine that I know of.
The other one,
I'm not too sure about that.
This is what my understanding is on the web, and it seems like the alternative media is now speaking truth as opposed to as Trump says, the fake news. Anyway, I just wanted to get your feeling on it. I thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, one of the things I think that we all have lost during COVID was just the innocence of thinking that doctors or the government, and again, maybe I'm super naive, and I was, but thinking that everything is always on the up and up and everybody's just trying to do the right thing and doing the best they can. And maybe I've just worked with kids too long, where the innocence of just my day-to-day life spoke into that. Because I know, as we look, like my son, and this is a whole nother almost show for, but my son's entering the seventh grade next year. So he has another round of vaccines that my wife and I both have, my older two daughters both have. So now, we're looking at things a little differently. And, so if he was to continue into public schools, he has to have, another vaccine. So my wife is actually starting to go down that road of looking at, those vaccines. And again, I know those vaccines have been around for, 50 years, 70 years, et cetera. But, it's created a whole nother level of concern. And then I have a
a grandbaby due in April, so my daughter's already having those conversations with her husband and my wife about, you know, because I have friends that have never vaccinated their kids. They were homeschooled forever. They're wildly successful adults and healthy. So, you know, that may be something someday I would love to pick your brain on, whether it's on air or off air. But, I mean, do you have any – I'm turning this into a telemed appointment now because I'm asking you. Like, there's a difference, right, of vaccines we've had for 50 years versus what we have today?
In the old days, I think the limited number of vaccines that are given to children. I think over the years that list has been expanded. So far I haven't seen or heard anything that's very detrimental for the children to have vaccine. But it's a legitimate question that we should ask.
Yeah.
And because I have science background, I like to search for answers. There's an interesting philosophy that we have in medicine. We were told that 50% of what we're told today may not be true in the future. The problem is, what is that 50%?
Yeah.
What 50% is true, what 50% is not true? So we have to constantly ask ourselves, what we're doing today, is that the right thing to do or not? And there's nothing wrong with asking questions, finding the answer.
Yeah. No,
But as of now, I'm a strong supporter of pediatric vaccines. Historically, there are some good vaccines and there's some bad vaccines that's been taken off the market. But we have to trust somebody, but there's nothing wrong with asking questions.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you know, after this hour, and I already did, but after this hour, I trust you and Shasta County and your care more now than I could have ever before. And I encourage people, whenever that town hall does happen, because I will hold you to that, I will push that. And I know your wife, Jana, is – Jana, correct? Yes. I know that she – wherever she is, she's probably clenching her fist knowing that's going to be another night you're going to be gone. But I think it's important for the community to get a chance to sit across from you, look at you, ask questions and understand that you are here for the right reasons. You're not here for anything other than to sow into a community that has given you a lot and you want to give back. So with that, I really appreciate you coming in. I appreciate the time you took this Sunday morning. You have the whole Sunday ahead of you. It's only a couple minutes to 9. But as we look forward here to this week of Thanksgiving, I just want to say briefly what I'm thankful for. Would you like to say what you're thankful for? 30 seconds?
Well, first, I'm thankful for our God. I'm also thankful for my staff, my new job at Public Health. They're wonderful, very experienced, very dedicated staff. And also thankful for my patients that trust me, and I'm going to try to find a way to keep the practice going so my patients will not have to be scattered. And I also appreciate my my private practice staff. And I thank you for giving this opportunity for me to speak.
Oh, yeah, you bet. You know, the one thing.
And by the way, Kevin, I do have a sense of humor.
Okay. I'm sure you do. I know that over time, I feel like my sense of humor, you know, ebbs and flows with being in office. But, you know, if we can't laugh at ourselves, you know, and I give myself plenty of things to laugh at. So one thing I'll say I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for my Savior as well. I'm thankful for my wife, who has been just a rock throughout my entire adult life. We've been married almost 24 years, but and my kids and my wife and my family in general is what gets me up every day, wanting to be the best person I can be, serve the best I'm able. And I'm just thankful for Shasta County. I'm thankful for the many voters who put me in office, and I'm going to be thankful for the many voters that are going to keep me in office after March. So with that, we are going to say goodbye. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Love you, Shasta County. See you back here in a couple weeks.
But if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the town he shined in light, but you could always find him standing up what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right, and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.